We are very pleased to have as our initial guest of today the author of a brand new book coming out called The Essential Crying Baby Book. The parent of a formerly colicky baby, now a happy grade school kid, can talk all about it. Christine Smith, welcome to the Mike Schickman Show. It's great to have you on our program.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, my wife tells me that she was a colicky baby.
Oh.
You know, which kind of explains a lot from my point of view, but we won't go there.
Yeah.
There seem to be babies, colic or not, that just seem to be criers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are babies that just seem incredibly happy with whatever they do and don't cry unless they're really, really upset about something.
Exactly. I'm so glad that you bring that up because that's, you know, the number one misconception is so many people hear this baby screaming in the supermarket or, you know, in the airplane, right? And you think, what is that mother doing? Why doesn't she give that baby a pacifier? Because they just assume that all, you know, babies are the same and that they must not be, you know, need to be fed or have a wet diaper. But the truth is about one in four babies, which is 25% of babies, are considered excessive criers, which will babies that will cry no matter what you do.
Boy, that's depressing.
I know, right?
One in
Especially
four.
If you happen to be that unlucky one in four.
Holy cow, that's a lot of babies.
It's a lot of babies. It's a lot of babies.
Do we have any idea why such a high percentage? Are they all colicky?
Well, it's kind of, you know, a lot of people don't even know what the term colic means. And they say, you know what, my baby cried a lot, but I don't know if they were colicky. And the truth is, we don't really even know what colic means. Colic, we just use the layman's term, which means the term that, you know, everybody uses for a baby that cries a lot. So if you say, you know what, does my baby cry excessively or is it normal? A baby that cries a lot or is colicky is a baby that cries for more than 3 hours a day, more than 3 days a week, for at least 1 week. So if your baby's crying that much, it's considered to be an excessive crier. Now, 1 in 10 of those babies will have a medical reason for their crying. So reflux, you know, gastric reflux, like a lot of, you know, us suffer from, babies suffer from, and they're realizing that more and more, or a food allergy or something medical. But that's only 1 in 10 of those babies. The other 90% cry for unknown reasons. We haven't figured it out for generations what causes these colicky babies.
Now, does this start at birth, or is it onset, or what?
It's so interesting. It usually starts around 2 weeks after they're born. And, you know, if you have a baby that's born early like mine was born a week early, she started almost 3 weeks. So after their due date, about 2 weeks, that's when it just clicks in and they start screaming.
Now, yeah, you know, there are different levels of crying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even as the uncle of 15 and a half, a granduncle of 15 and a half,
mm-hmm.
I could tell the difference most of the time between wet diaper, hungry, thirsty, or bored, and then screaming their guts out.
Right.
Because
right.
It really is like a bad loop of a scream queen.
Right. And the interesting thing is that they've done studies on this, right? And they've taken these babies that are excessive criers. And they have found that these, you know, the scream that sounds like they're dying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the scream that these babies do when they're crying uncontrollably, which is most of the time. And they took these studies and they took the non-parents. Of course, they're biased. You know, every parent hormonally wants to help their kid. But they took a parent of normal babies, they took scientists, and they had them listen to recordings of these colicky babies, these excessive criers. And the study actually in the journal reported it as nails on a chalkboard sound. So it's that scream, and that's what these babies are doing all day long. And I tell you, as a mom that's been through it, I mean, it tests your sanity in a big way.
Well, I've been on a plane with one behind me many times, it seems. And it's understandable because even we're uncomfortable on planes, especially going up and going down.
Yeah.
But the 3 hour long crying, you just hope that, you know, maybe a diaper, you know, see how old I am? I said diaper pin. Aren't I old? Diaper pin. Yes, people, before Pampers and all those,
well,
there
you know
were
what?
Cloth
it's
diapers.
It's all circling back. Moms are going back to natural cloth diapers now, so it's okay. You're in the in crowd now.
Okay, because it's better environmentally, supposedly. But the thing is you're always looking for a reason, and yet you're saying that we have no idea what reason.
Exactly. And, you know, there's some really interesting – I just came back 2 days ago from the American Academy of Pediatrics meeting, the national meeting, and I was presenting on, you know, what it's like to be a mom, but I was working with folks that there's some interesting studies that are coming out on what seems to be effects of our gut microflora, which is the normal bacteria. You know, we all have bacteria in our guts and our intestines and everything that's supposed to do the good job, good bacteria. And we're learning more and more about if that's imbalanced, it causes all kinds of things. And some of these babies we're learning, actually, if they're treated with the right specific strain of a probiotic, it's decreasing crying by 2/3.
Wow.
Which is amazing. So that's some promising science that's coming up, and I think it's going to lead into what's happening with some of these babies. But from everything, even with grown-ups, you know, constipation, everything, it's linking back to our bugs in our guts.
Now, are babies, is it a higher percentage, that 1 in 4 today, than was the case 10, 20, 30 years ago?
No.
Always been like this.
It's probably always been like this. You know, the science is better today than it was back then when we didn't know the right questions to ask and we didn't have all the case-controlled studies and everything that we had before. So who really knows? I mean, my grandmother, she said my father was colicky, and she was told to feed him bean juice out of the can because that would fix it. So, you know, science is different. But it doesn't seem to be changing. But surely, you know, the differences in our microflora and our intestines and everything might be changing. So maybe it's increasing. Who knows? But, you know, the thing that is changing is back then, gosh, moms had support, you know, and we lived near our grandmothers and we lived near our moms and we lived near our aunts and uncles or whatever. And these days, everybody's so separated. So these parents that are struggling with these babies are really taking a whooping because they don't have that family support. And who's going to trust a babysitter that you get off, you know, care.com with, you know, a screaming baby that you're afraid they're going to, you know, lose their mind.
Well, let me ask you, Christine, because this is important before we go on. Mm-hmm. Does being one of the 1 in 4, I mean, does this doom you as a child and an adult?
Doom you how?
As far as, I mean, are you doomed to be, like, because I know your own child grew out of it.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Do most children grow out of this?
They almost all grow out of it by 3 to 4 months of age. It magically stops.
So shouldn't they give that to, like, as the leaving mom as a pack? By the way, if the baby starts crying after 2 weeks, it'll pass in a couple of years.
Well, that's the number one thing that pediatricians say, but it is not good enough. So when I was just speaking at the AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, I said, imagine yourself, you're cooking in your kitchen, and all of a sudden your fire alarm starts going off, just screaming. You run over, you try to turn it off, you can't, you try to rip it off the wall, and you can't, so you call the number of the company on the label, and they say, you know what, sorry, there's a glitch in the model, there's nothing we can do, but don't worry, the alarm will turn itself off in 3 to 4 months. I mean, you just, you know, they say, don't worry. We know you haven't slept in days. We know there's screaming that sounds like your baby's dying all day long, and you're just going crazy. But don't worry. You just have 3 or 4 more months, and it will pass. And, you know, as a mom, you're just like, and I'm supposed to be able to deal with it. And it actually drives parents more into depression and, you know, loss of confidence because they say, geez, you know, if this is that not supposed to be that big of a deal, I must really suck. You know that I can't deal with that. So it's, you know, it's not enough. Parents need support.
Christine Smith, the author of the upcoming book, The Essential Crying Baby Book. When does it come out?
It's actually out just now. It
Great.
It came out a couple weeks ago. It's on Amazon.com.
All right. Before we, let me continue now. So from what you're telling me, the big issue with the crying baby syndrome is not the baby itself. It's the effect it has on the parents and adults around it.
Absolutely. So they've done a lot of studies on this, and they've shown that the crying of these babies increases, of course, stress and anxiety in parents. That's a no-brainer. It causes sleep deprivation, and it actually really damages the confidence of especially new mothers. So those new mothers tend to blame themselves because they don't have the experience of having been, you know, had a baby before. So they assume they just don't know what they're doing. And what they found in studies that those things together not only increase depression, connection in the mom and the dad, but it affects that parent-child bond, and it affects the way the mom interacts with their baby, and that has developmental impacts on the child even into toddlerhood. It was funny because even, you know, months passed when I, you know, my baby's colic ended. I realized I started watching these other my friends and other moms around me, and I was like, gosh, they really seem to know what they're doing and be interacting with their baby and playing. And I was just walking on eggshells, hoping not to set off that fire alarm. I mean, I was just, you know, don't touch her. She's not crying. So it really actually has long-term impacts on maternal mental health and that mother-child bond that affects the baby into the future. So if parents know, and they've shown in these studies that community support, so people that not say, oh, you know, your baby's crying, you just need to hold it this way, or you need to burp, or you need to do this or that, what they found is actually that just giving them empathy and saying, you know what, that sucks, what can I do, how can I help you, get those moms out there for walks, for quiet, for just having their sanity, have a glass of wine, whatever they need, that is what makes the difference for those parents and can stop that depression before it really takes hold.
Now, what is the purple crying curve? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so the purple crying curve is kind of the normal crying curve of a baby. So every baby, it's important for all moms out there to know, that every baby around 2 weeks of age will actually start increasing the amount that they cry until they get to 6 weeks. And then it gets to the peak level of their crying, and then it will kind of taper off and go down. So all babies kind of have this crying curve like that. And they do what we call the witching hour. Moms call it the witching hour, where the baby cries a lot, like right before bedtime, right when you're trying to get dinner on the table. Baby starts crying a lot more. We call that the witching hour of the baby. But that's all normal stuff. So it's important for parents to know, so they don't say, oh, Jesus, there's something wrong with my baby. They're running it to the pediatrician. He didn't used to cry this much a couple weeks ago. That's normal. But if your baby's crying for more than 3 hours a day, for at least 3 days a week, and it's continuing on and on, then, you know, your baby's an excessive crier.
Is there any way to stop the crying?
So until now, no, not really. I mean, there's all kinds of soothing techniques and all these promises. If you do this, your baby will stop crying, and it makes you feel worse because it doesn't work. But sometimes certain things will work for certain babies, so it's nice to know. The only promising evidence that we've seen so far is these probiotics, and especially the specific strain. I talk about it in the book and the studies and everything. But this specific strain of probiotics, it actually decreases crying, even in normal babies, to a third of what it was before. So I think that that's the way that we're going.
So digestion, or incomplete digestion, is probably a better way to put this. Now, you'd think mother's milk, you know, you couldn't do better.
Well, actually, this helps babies who are breastfed more than babies that are formula fed. So mother's milk is the best. It is the best no matter what, and it's got the right sort of balance in it and everything. But there are other things that affect our gut. You know, we all live in environments, and we don't know what it is. Is it something mom's eating? Is it something the baby's exposed to? We have no idea. We're just learning that our gut bugs, our gut bacteria, is a whole other set of genes for us, pretty much. So we haven't understood all the things that affect it, but we do sure are starting to understand some of the impacts of it. So adding this to the regimen, and it's safe from day one of age, can not only prevent colic, but can help treat it. So it's just the most promising thing we see so far, but nothing's going to be a fix-all. So parents have got to know, you know what, the number one thing is do whatever you can to keep your sanity and find that support. And the rest of us, when we see that screaming baby on a plane, we need to look at that mom and kind of just give her a pat on the back or a little bit of empathy, and that can mean the world.
So don't suggest the stewardess stow it somewhere.
Exactly right.
No, that's important.
Probably not a good idea.
Christine Smith, the name of the book, The Essential Crying Baby Book, where is it available?
It's available on Amazon.com and soon to be in bookstores.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's theessentialcryingbabybook.com.
Christine, good luck with the book. Come back and join us, won't you?
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you having me so much.
Christine Smith joining us today, The Essential Crying Baby Book. Sounds like a great gift for a new mom and dad.